Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast with Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Using an interview format, Pastor Bob will introduce you to men and women whose ministries are impacting this world with the gospel, and will also provide commentary and insight on end-time prophetic events we now see happening in the news. Now here is Pastor Robert Thibodeau.
Hello, everyone, everywhere. This is Pastor Robert Thibodeau, and I want to thank you for joining us today on the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast. You know, we are so blessed every time that you join with us for a great discussion on issues concerning the Christian faith, and have we got something great for you today. Pastor Bill Jenkins is the founder and senior pastor of Destinyland Christian Centers. He's a television and radio host, award-winning author, and has rapidly become known as an apostle of God with a prophetic voice. He works to release a message of hope into our world with uncompromising spiritual fervor. Pastor Bill takes on the toughest passages of Scripture and explains them in a practical and interesting way. He is now known as the go-to guy when it comes to understanding biblical numbers and their spiritual significance. As a devoted husband and father, his passion is for others to become successful as they apply the principles of Christ. Pastor Bill is also a broadcaster on our radio station, Evangelism Radio, Monday through Saturday from 11 to 11:30 a.m. Eastern Time. He's the founder of WIMD Radio, and I'm also blessed to be able to have our broadcast, Freedom Through Faith, on his station as well. Pastor Jenkins married his beautiful wife, Britton, in 1998. They have three sons, Bryce, Brock, and Brady. Pastor Bill enjoys spending time with his family and firmly believes that in order to be a leader of any kind, you first must be a good leader and a godly man in your home. Pastor, thank you for taking the time out of your busy schedule to come back on the program with us today.
Well, thank you so much. I'm blessed to be with you. Always love to talk with you. Love your passion and heart for the Lord, and just thankful that we have this opportunity today.
Hey, man, well, I appreciate that. Now, for those that missed our prior conversation, because, you know, somehow our schedules just never meshed, and it's been a while since I had you back on, probably close to a year. And, you know, let's just, for those that didn't hear our prior interview, first of all, shame on them, but maybe they just signed it up. But they need to go back and find it. But let's just start with the first question I ask everyone. And other than the brief bio that I just read, can you tell us in your own words, who is Pastor Bill Jenkins?
Well, you did a really wonderful job. I mean, I want to get that little bio you did. You did great. I mean, that sums up everything. You know, first and foremost, a husband and a father. I feel like that's the most important thing. I don't feel like I have a right to ask anybody to follow me if I can't lead my family properly and be Amen. A good husband and father. And so I think that's important. I think integrity is one of the things that I would like to define my life every day, living a life that's honest, true, and faithful for the Lord and having a passion for God. So I love to teach people and minister to people, help people, whatever their point of need may be, bring them from where they're at to where God wants them to be, whether it's through preaching or teaching or through the books that I write. I've written about four or five books this year.
Man.
And I love to just, you know, be able to help people to get to a level that they couldn't get without me. I'm all about helping people get to the next level. You know, if you're a baby in the Lord, that's fine. But I want to help get you to another level. I don't want you to stay a baby. You know, someone would be wrong if me and you as grown men still walked around with a baby bottle drinking milk.
Yeah.
It wouldn't look right. And so in the spiritual realm, I think we have a lot of people who think they're mature, but they still act like babies. And so my goal is not only to reach and win the lost, which obviously is the single most important goal we should have as Christians, but it's also to help Christians to grow and to mature in the walk, in their walk with the Lord. I often tell people the difference between babies and adults is that adults work and babies create work. So you can really judge your own Christian life based upon, are you working for the Lord and building the kingdom, or are you creating work for others who are attempting to build the kingdom? So I think, you know, I just want to be known as a person who loves God. I'm not really a professional preacher. I've been doing this for 30 years, but I don't really, you know, like professional preachers. I just like people who love God, who's sincere,
Amen.
Faithful, loyal to the Lord, and do what they need to do to build the kingdom of God and what I believe is the last of the last days.
Yeah, amen. I fully agree with that. You know, as you're talking, I'm thinking about the scripture, you know, take it from milk to meat. in the Word.
Yes. Know?
And amen. Amen. Now, let's just back up a little bit and try and catch people up on your past. Now, you had a scholarship, if I'm not mistaken, and were thinking about being a professional baseball player. Is that correct?
Yeah, back when I was in high school, I actually went to a 2A school, and I pitched against a 5A school in Illinois. And they came out, all the scouts did, to watch the pitcher from the 5A school.
Mm.
And, you know, they kind of, we had a great team, but we were a lower class of team, you know, being a smaller school and all. And so we really weren't expected to compete with this team. I was kind of thrown as a sacrificial lamb, being a pitcher, being a freshman on the team. But, you know, I got mad. I'm a competitor. I don't like to lose. And so, you know, everybody came out to see this guy, and I was like, you know what, this just ain't right. You know, I feel like I'm just as good as he is. I feel like I'm better than he is. And I really pitched the game of my life. And we both had no-hitters going into the seventh inning that day. And so
awesome.
The scouts came out and watched him, I sort of got noticed that day because, you know, I was holding my own against this guy who had to get drafted by Major League Baseball. And so my name got out there as a freshman. I had some contacts with scouts only because they came to look at somebody else. But that's why I tell people, take advantage of the moment.
That's right.
You know, you never know. They didn't come out. They didn't even know who I was until that day when, you know, I pitched the game of my life. I don't know if I ever pitched any better than that. But, you know, that was the first impression that those guys had seen. And so they followed me throughout my high school career. And, you know, I got an offer from the Kansas City Royals to play minor league baseball. Don't know if I could have ever made it to the major leagues, but, you know, it was minor league baseball. But I had just gotten saved like 2 or 3 days before my 18th birthday, and the Lord really radically changed my life and really turned the focus around. My dad at the time, before he passed away, when he found out I had that opportunity, he was like, well, you know, you can still be a preacher in the off season. But I was like, you know, I could only be dedicated to one thing at a time.
Yeah.
And so my heart was directed to the Lord. I felt like God called me, and that's where I had to put my passion. So I turned away from all those other things and really put my focus on serving the Lord and preparing my heart for ministry.
Yeah, amen. And, you know, they say about the off season, all that, but you know, for the professionals, there really is no off season. I mean, the season ends and you start preparing for February. You know, you might take a week off, go to Disney World or something, but then, you know, you're right back into training, getting ready for the next year. So there really is no
off-season. Yeah, absolutely. You're 100% right. There is no off-season.
Right.
And that's why I couldn't have a divided heart. I couldn't
right.
do,
yeah.
you know, one thing and then do another thing. And I was so thankful when I had gotten saved that the Lord had called me out of darkness into his marvelous light that I wanted to serve him with everything that I had. So I never really had any regrets or never been sorry about it or looked back and thought, oh, I wish I would have done that. I am thankful that the Lord has called me and that he's given me the opportunity to minister to people throughout the years.
Yeah, amen. You know, as you were talking about the scouts coming out and stuff, I umpire girls softball for the high schools in the area, Baltimore County High Schools, and also the rec leagues. And last summer, they had the number one and the number two rated girl pitchers competing at the same in the same game. And, you know, several of the colleges in the area had sent scouts out. And I tell you, that was an excellent game. I think it was like 1-0 final score or something. But, I mean, it was just,
wow.
You know, I mean, you get as an umpire, you see that, you know, my wife laughs because it's like, ball, ball. Ball. This was like strike, you know, I mean, just, they were excellent. So I understand what the scouts were looking at, and when you had a no-hitter with him going into the seventh inning, that was I bet they were taking
it was
notes.
An amazing game. I don't think I've ever pitched better before after that game, and part of it was you know, my attitude that I wasn't going to let somebody one-up me, you know.
Amen.
So I don't know if that's always a good attitude in life, but it was that day.
Amen. Now, you also, after that, you went and attended Christ for the Nations in Dallas, Texas, correct?
Yeah, I went to Christ for the Nations and really enjoyed my time there. The education was great, but it was more of the spirit.
Yeah.
that was there. When you have 1,500 kids who, you know, are serving the Lord on fire for God,
you kind of feed off
like,
their fire.
A changing time. It was a changing time in my life where you had so many kids in love with the Lord. It wasn't just like a little small youth group. It was like a large group of people, and you know, they were all on fire and hungry for the Lord. So that was a fantastic time to really set me up in advance for ministry. And then while I was at Bible school, I also had the opportunity to pastor a church 100 miles one way in Quitman, Texas, through the school. And then that church grew, and God blessed that. So I got experience hands-on, through college, through my education, through just the great spirit of the kids that were there. And then I also had that opportunity to pastor that church.
Amen. Yeah, well, I know exactly where Christ for the Nations is, because I went to Bible school, we talked before, at Jerry Savelle Ministries over in Crowley, Texas, just south of Fort Worth. And I graduated in 1998. You graduated in 1990. I graduated in 98. But after your graduation, you had a call to go to the heartland of America. Tell us briefly about that calling and how you've walked that out.
Yeah, I just was laying on the top bunk in my dorm. I got the top bunk. I don't know why I did, but I got the top bunk. And there was three kids in a room. And as I was laying in room 211, the Lord just spoke to my heart to go to Indianapolis to start a church. And I still serve as, an overseer for the church to this day. But I was there for 28 years, full-time. I went to Indianapolis, didn't know anybody, didn't have anything. I was single at the time. And I would travel around 465, which circled the city, and just ask God where he wanted me to get off and start the church at. We started in a funeral home. And we ended up purchasing over 30 acres to, you know, really build the kingdom of God. It's a fantastic church where, you know, the Lord just really moved in a tremendous way. As we submit our hearts to the Lord, it's amazing what God can do. And so it was a wonderful time to be able to be a part of that.
Amen. What's the name of the church?
It was Church of Acts.
Okay. There you go. Okay. Now, we covered in our prior interviews about the prophetic almanac, and we focused on 2018. So I'll get your predictions for 2019 a little later, but I want to focus today on your new book that's just been released called Decoding Deity. Tell us about this book. What's it all about?
Yeah, well, Decoding Deity is sort of a book that I should have written a long time ago, but I just helped to sort of unlock the mystery of numbers, colors, symbols, names, places, and people in the Bible. And so when you see a number, a color, a symbol, a name, or a place, you sort of just breeze over it. And we forget that each one of those things has a meaning. If there's a certain number put in there, it's not by accident. If there's a certain color, it's not put in there by happenstance. There's a reason for it. And so what I've done over the years is I've done my research. I've taken the numbers, how many times that they're used in the Bible. And then I lay the scriptures out, whether it be numbers, colors, names, people, or places, or even symbols, to say, hey, this is what it represents. This is what it symbolizes when it's mentioned in the Bible. And so I do that to help give people a greater understanding of the, you know, truth that God is trying to get across. So God may want to speak to you more than just what meets the eye sometimes. And when you begin to take those words and you begin to look at the Greek or Hebrew, or you begin to look at the numbers, the colors, or the symbols in the scripture, what is the name of the person or the name of the place? And you begin to study that out and you begin to see the consistency with the choose time and time again in the Bible. It helps you understand the true intent of God for a particular passage of scripture or for a story in the Bible that I believe will only increase your desire to want to know more from the Lord. So that's really what it's about. I take a look at the numbers, colors, not just what I think they mean, but, you know, what they mean consistently when they're used in the Bible to help us to understand what God's trying to say to even a greater level.
Amen. Now, how did you get, I guess it has to be a calling to dive into that portion of the scriptures, you know, identifying the numbers and all of the symbols, colors, on, you know, like you said, most people will just skim over that, you know, and charge on with their daily Bible reading. But what was it that moved you to start digging deeper just in that area?
Well, I tell you, I always try to teach people to dig deeper, go further, close the gap, minimize their distance, and then walk in a relationship with God. And when you've been doing something for 20, 25, 30 years, you got to find new ways to approach things to keep it fresh.
Right.
I got a great marriage. I got a great wife, but I still have to do things to keep our marriage fresh. We don't just wake up and all of a sudden the, you know, sparkle dust from heaven falls down and we have a great marriage. So we have to work at it. And so it's the same thing in our work, in our walk with God. We have to work at it. So I just remember reading stories in the Bible and seeing numbers and thinking to myself, well, why is that number there? Why is that a 5 and not an 8? Or why is that an 8 and not a 10? Why is that a 10 and not a 20? Why is that? So what I did is in my study time, I began to write those scriptures down that referenced a certain number or color or name. And I began to just write them all out. And I began to see that it was very awesome, the consistency of the numbers, colors, names, symbols, places, and people of the Bible when they were mentioned. But they all had the same meaning. It wasn't like one place it meant this, another place it meant that. It was just unbelievable to me that, and that sort of thrilled me. It excited me and gave me a passion to even know God in a different way. You know, we know about inductive study and deductive study and character study and topic study and all of that. Well, I just felt like there was more to the Word of God than what meets the eye, and I needed something new. So I started to study the names, the colors, the places, the people, the symbols of the Bible in order to keep my relationship with God fresh. And then it ended up birthing just a whole, you know, new set of abilities for me to be able to speak into other people's life. So it was just based out of a desire for me to want to know God more and why that was in there and then what it meant. Because I believe every word. Listen, there's 31,102 verses in the Bible. Every one of them are important. Every word is important. So every word is not put in there by accident. It's put in there on purpose. So we have to study, find out what it means, and learn to find out what things mean based upon what God says and not what we say. I'm not putting my personal twist on this. There's some numbers that mean certain things that I wish they didn't mean. You know, the year 18, we're in 2018, so 18 is a number of bondage. I wish it wasn't a number of bondage, but it is a number of bondage. But we don't believe that we're going to stay in bondage. We believe we're going to be free. So you look in the Bible, 18 people were killed by the fall of the tower in Luke chapter 14. The Israelites were in bondage to King Eglon of Moab for 18 years. The Amorites oppressed Israel for 18 years. You see these references to 18, they're all in bondage, even in the New Testament. You remember the story in Luke 13 where Jesus delivered the woman of a spirit of bondage after 18 years.
18 years, yeah.
So all of these things on 18 lead to bondage. Wow. And so I do that for every number. I do that for every color, every symbol, every name, the person and place in the Bible to help you to understand, wow, you know, the consistency of God is miraculous.
Oh, yeah.
And it's marvelous. And it just helps you to just, you know, sort of stir your own spirit, stay fresh with the Lord, and just continue to be able to build that relationship with Him.
Amen. What makes this bit what makes this book different from the Prophetic Almanac?
Well, this book is different in that I'm looking at a lot of different things. For instance, I give you 100 different numbers. So from the number 1 to the number 100 in the Bible, I'm going to give you a meaning for every single one of those letters or for every single one of those numbers. We're going to talk about the color blue, the color black. We're going to talk about green and yellow. It hits more specifically in this book, and it digs deep into why you see certain objects. Why is there certain symbols mentioned in the Bible? And it's just an in-depth look at sort of those things in the Bible that you would not normally look at to give you a greater understanding and help you apply these truths. I believe there's a lot of just point-blank, black-and-white messages in the Bible, but there's also some abstract messages that when you dig, you know, God wants to reveal things to us. There's no doubt. It's His joy to reveal things to us. When we seek after God to, you know, try to find things, God isn't trying to find a new place to hide something so we can't get it. He takes joy. He takes pleasure when we pursue Him to try to find things out. So this book is sort of a college textbook, if you will, to help you to unlock those mysteries, stir your spirit, and help you to understand God and His Word to a greater level. So it's just one of those books that digs deep into specific things, but all of the general numbers that are mentioned, all of the general colors, the names, the places, the symbols of the Bible are mentioned here in Decoding Deity.
Amen. Now, some people may ask, well, can't we just read the Bible for ourselves and let God speak to us through His Word? Why do we need to decode anything? What's your answer to something like that?
Well, you can certainly read it, but the Bible tells us we need to pray before we read, like invite the Holy Spirit in to help us with our understanding. And, you know, there's nothing wrong. You know, if you want to use a Bible application, if you want to use a commentary, if you want to use, you know, something to help you to understand a certain scripture or chapter in the Bible, there's nothing wrong with that. There's just different ways to study the Bible. So, yes, you can open it up and read it. You may not understand that. You know, you and I are people who do this for a living.
Yeah.
Everybody else may not. You know, we're more of a shepherd. People would be more of a sheep. That doesn't mean we're better than people, but I certainly wouldn't go on somebody's job and try to tell them how to do it if I had no understanding.
Right.
And I think people have to be careful to come on our terms and try to tell us how to do things when we have done this, we have experience, we have expertise in certain areas, plus we have a calling and anointing from God to do it.
Amen.
And so, yes, you can open up the Bible and read it. It's going to limit your understanding, but if you add things like a commentary, like a book to help you to understand, like a life application Bible, those things are going to help you understand that scripture, get a better understanding of what God is trying to get across, plus get a correct understanding. There's nothing worse. The only thing worse than not getting knowledge is getting bad knowledge.
Right.
So too many people think they know things. Like one of the probably pet peeves that I have as a pastor is that when people tag the name of the Lord onto things when the Lord hasn't spoken, you know, anybody can say God told me to do something, but if it's not consistent with His written word,
correct,
then it is not of God. So I don't care who the prophet is or what the prophecy may be, if that word does not line up and if it does not connect with the word of God, the written word of God is first. Prophetic word of God is second. Hopefully it's in unison, but if we have to choose, it's the written word first, and
Amen.
The prophetic word has to line up with what the written word says.
Amen.
So you can just open up the Bible and read. It's one way to do it, but you can also use commentaries, and then you can use different means of study. You have a topic study. Pick any topic you want, then study that topic in the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
You can take a character, male or female, in the Bible, and you can study that. It's just different ways to study the Word in order to keep your relationship fresh, fresh with the Lord. So Decoding Deity is just an opportunity through the numbers, the colors, the symbols, the names, the places, the people of the Bible to just keep your relationship fresh with the Lord and to understand, to get a greater understanding of what the Lord is trying to sort of get across.
Okay, well, some people may be wondering if, you know, decoding numbers and all that, is that considered numerology and things like that? Isn't that a, you know, possibly a form of witchcraft or fortune telling and things like that?
Right. No, it's not numerology by any means. We're doing this for a greater understanding of the Word. So if you see a name in the Bible, and that name means a certain something or place in the Bible, then, you know, it's certainly not numerology or, you know, something that's of witchcraft or the enemy. It just helps you to understand that everything, your name has a meaning.
Mm-hmm.
My name has a meaning. You were given a name. Even in the Bible, they were given names.
Right.
And sometimes their names were changed when, you know, they had an encounter with God.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't always look different when they left the place, but, you know, sometimes God gave them a different name, and that name represents something that they maybe went from something bad to something good. Take, for instance, Saul murdered Christians, but he got saved, you know, had an encounter with God, became Paul. He had a name change. In understanding that name change, we sort of understand the process of what God took him through, and it's the same thing with numbers. When you see certain numbers in the Bible, they are consistent with certain things that God is wanting to teach us. Just help us to understand. Studying the Word of God is not a bad thing. It's a good thing.
Amen.
And when you see certain numbers in the Bible, it's just representative of different things that God is trying to get across. When you see the number 6, it's representative of man or Satan. Seven is God's perfect number. God rested on the seventh day. God taught Peter to forgive 70 times seven. There were seven sayings on the cross. Took 7 days to consecrate Aaron and his sons in the priesthood. When you see the number seven, it's God's perfect number. So that's a number of perfection. Eight is the number of new beginnings. Eight people were saved from the flood in Genesis 7. Circumcision was to be formed on the eighth day in Genesis 17. Thomas saw Jesus 8 days after the resurrection. These were opportunities for new beginnings to take place.
Hey, everyone. Pastor Bob here. We are all out of time today for today's interview with Pastor Bill Jenkins as we are discussing his new book, Decoding Deity. Now, Pastor Bill and I, we have a great, great friendship and relationship. And he's on our station, Evangelism Radio. I'm in his station, WIMD, out in California. And I hope you're getting a lot out of this. We just have a great give and take back and forth. But the most important thing I want you to understand is his new book, Decoding Deity, just dives deep into some patterns that he has discovered over his years of Bible study. And he is sharing these things with us. He's sharing them with his book in detail. We're just kind of skimming the surface in these interviews today. Amen. So please come back tomorrow. Join us as we conclude our interview with Pastor Bill Jenkins of Destinyland Christian Centers out in California. And we want to go ahead and make sure that you do not miss any of tomorrow's episode. Till then, this is Pastor Bob reminding you to be blessed in all that you do. Are you a Christian entrepreneur, coach, or author with a message that needs to be heard? Picture this, your voice reaching thousands, your story inspiring hearts, and your business flourishing like never before. Introducing Faithcasters, the ultimate platform that connects faith-driven professionals like you with the power of podcasting. Become a sought-after guest on faith-based podcasts, share your unique insights, and connect with like-minded individuals who share your passion for faith and entrepreneurship as well. Imagine your expertise reaching a wider audience, expanding your network, and propelling your business to new heights. Well, it's all within reach with Faithcasters. So don't wait. Take the first step today on your journey to greatness by visiting our website at faithcaster.org. That's faithcaster.org. Join the Faithcasters community now and unleash the full potential of your faith-driven enterprise. You do not want to miss this opportunity. Faithcasters, where faith meets podcasting and your dreams become reality. Visit faithcaster.org. Let's soar together. And remember, anyone can be a podcaster, but only a Christian can become a faithcaster. Faithcasters, your voice, your platform, your success.